This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it's our pleasure to go up to the studios of WFAN in New York right now and welcome in Brandon Tierney, hosts Middays up there. BT, what's going on, man?
Representing Queens. She was raised out of Brooklyn. I like the music, man. What's going on, guys?
And he does a good job over there. Although he's repping St. Louis today. He's dressed like Nelly for Halloween. So I don't know if you...
All right. I did see the Band-Aid. I didn't know if he cut himself shaving or what. What's up, Nell?
No, he's just dressed like Nelly because, of course, he is. So I'm so curious to see where you guys are right now because this Giants team... Yeah, the face says it all. This Giants team is not playing the best football. I think there was a lot of feelings going into the season that this could be a very frustrating year. Where were you at kind of coming into the season and how has it played out based off that, those expectations versus the reality?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Coming into the season, I didn't have incredibly high expectations. I certainly, believe in the coach. I like, in theory, certainly I like what he did a couple of years ago, and he's provided me with enough evidence. And I think most Giant fans thought about Dable, maybe Shane, the GM, a little less, but the head coach to have, at least put the Giants on the right path. I know they're short on talent. I think everybody knew that coming in. The Vikings game week one was an eye opener because we didn't think Minnesota would be that good and the Giants didn't play well. So, all that being said, where are we now versus where am I now versus where was I coming into the season? I think probably a little worse, even though my expectations were fairly nominal. And I said this the other day on my show with Sal, I said, the problem if you're a Giants fan right now is before this year, all right, the Eagles owned you, Dallas, even though Dallas has issues, Dallas has owned you. But the one team that you can look squarely in the eye is the Commanders. And, whether it's a tie, whether it's a tight win, whether it's a narrow loss, there was really no separating factors for either team. Flip a coin. Well, now it's really the complete antithesis. The Giants, I don't have it in front of me, but the Giants plus minus, minus 50. I think the Commanders is plus 60, somewhere like that. Obviously a very good record. And more specifically, they've got the franchise cornerstone quarterback who very well could wind up with an MVP or two down the road. So, so I think it's gotten worse because they very rarely win division games. And now the one team that, you've had moderate success against the last couple of years, they're flying past everybody, let alone you. So it doesn't seem very encouraging, to be honest with you.
To say the least, double check the numbers you were talking there. Yeah, Giants are minus 58. Okay. The Commanders are plus 69. Also, the amount of green in the NFC North is disgusting. The worst team in plus minus in the NFC North is the Bears, who are plus 44 on the season, which is
That is crazy. Ridiculous. That's rare. You don't see that too much.
No, but also the way the NFL schedule works, eventually those teams will have to play each other twice. So we'll see how that goes in the season. Brandon Tierney's with us from WFAN in New York, and I think the thing that's interesting about the Giants is you can look at some of the moves they made and go, "Oh, this is good." But you see the difference, obviously, here this year, how much a quarterback matters. And for Daniel Jones, not playing good football, Jaden Daniels is somehow playing at an MVP level as a rookie. And if you took those two players out of it, I don't know how much talent differentiation there is on the roster. Coaching staff is a different story, but talent differentiation outside of quarterback seems a lot more similar. So the big question I feel like fundamentally, beyond this season, BT, before we get into this game this weekend is, Do you trust the coaching staff that's in place and Joe Shane, who clearly, I think, based on what we saw in Hard Knocks, is not Daniel Jones' biggest believer? Like, I think in the back of his mind, like, he knew, but John Mara was only going to let him do so much. They had to sign the contract, whatever, a couple years ago. Yep. But when you hit the reset button, is this staff the one that should get to reset it?
My answer is more yes than no, but I'm not fully convinced. I mean, listen, I'm more yes than no. And usually it's the other way. Like when, you know, year three and going backwards, and to take a quick step back from a Giants perspective, because they overachieved and had such a fun 2022 and won a road playoff game, it set the bar at a level that just wasn't commensurate with their talents. You know what I mean? So really, if it would have been the complete opposite, Giants win, you know, three games or 3-14 year war, I guess the 3 years ago would have been 3-13. And last year they win 6 or 7. And then this year they're kind of trickling toward climate. It's a more of a natural progression. It makes you feel better. I think it emboldens people. All right, we've got the right people in place. This is the way it's supposed to look. It's flipped, which definitely gets people thinking a little bit sideways here. I know that John Mara, who's obviously the owner, he's embarrassed by the lack of stability and the volatility for the Giants. Like, for years, the Giants have been a bastion of, not just in New York along with the Yankees usually, but a bastion for the NFL consistency, you know, non-impulsive hires, you know, giving guys a chance, players as well, to figure things out. Going back to Parcells, who was almost fired after his first year when he went, I think it was 3 wins, whatever it was. He almost got fired. And I do think whether it's the Judge or Shurmur or McAdoo, they've been very hasty and they've been very un-Giants-like. Now, if that wasn't the case, and I know he's motivated to change that because he's embarrassed by it, and he should be, right? You need stability, even if you're not sure that it's 100% the right duo or whatever, to just change in football, you're going nowhere. So he doesn't want to do that again. And I don't think that he will be fired this year unless optics are going to matter here. If the Giants go 4-13 and you get to December and there's 12, 13, 15,000 empty seats, or, you know, the opposing team's fan base infiltrates the stadium, you know, like the Eagles did, like some of the other teams have.
So that sounds just stunningly familiar to the things that we've experienced here.
You guys have been there. You know exactly. It's the same script pretty much, just different uniforms. And if that happens, combined with, and I do think this is a good trait, but it could be a bad one down the road, the intensity of Brian Daboll. You know, I just wonder if it really goes awry and the optics look awful and the questions keep coming and they're not winning and they're getting beat, they can't score and they're getting losing by multiple touchdowns to teams they shouldn't necessarily lose by multiple touchdowns to. I think at that point you could have a pivot or a recalibration of whatever the Giants are married to now. And Dable's the kind of guy, and again, this is I get this. I like this. I like my coaches to be fiery. I don't need them to be benign, vanilla. No, say what you're thinking, especially here. We'll respect that. We'll give you room. But he's particularly intense. And I know he's pissed. And I know he's embarrassed. And if it continues to go poorly, does he have the one press conference, quite frankly, like Joe Judge did, who basically talked himself out of that job? That's why he got fired. They were going to bring him back, and then he just kept yapping. They said, get lost. And I think that that's a possibility. I hope it doesn't happen, because I do think that Daboll could be here. To the point where I say this, Hoff, I don't know eventually what Brian Daboll's New York Giants resume is going to be, but I firmly believe that Brian Daboll 2.0, wherever it is, if it's somewhere else, is going to be better, because he's going to learn. He's going to, you know, tighten up some loose edges. I mean, last year with Wink Martindale, and he was snapping at the media. Like, once he polishes a few things up, I think he could be a great coach. I really do.
But no, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I'm a big fan of both Daboll and Kafka schematically. Like, they are, watching them on film, and I'm lucky enough to get to do that, not only myself, but with a guy in Logan Paulson who played 10 years in the league for the podcast that we do. And, like, we do these rankings every offseason of in the division. We rank position groups, but then we also go and rank the coordinators. And that's probably my favorite show, because Logan just is a gigantic football nerd who happened to be 6'5" and 280 pounds and smashing his helmet into people. But I'm pretty sure we ranked before the season Daboll and Kafka as the best like offensive coordinator, putting them together in the division because of some of the stuff that they have done previously. And that is actually really interesting to think about now, because when we did our preview show this morning for the weekend, one of the things that Logan said was everything feels hard right now for them offensively. And so I think that there's the personality piece, which I think those of us in Washington appreciate a lot more now, seeing how DQ has been this year and the belief that he is ingrained in this team and how the right demeanor and the right attitude can go a long way with the team. But I'm also curious, like, schematically, what the hell are they doing this year where everything seems so hard for them offensively? Because that was the thing that kind of bridged the gap for Daboll. So I'm kind of curious that both sides, how much of his intensity is impacting the poor play this season and maybe the locker room not being all the way bought in or on the same page or whatever? And how much of this is schematically maybe some teams have figured out what they're doing and they just don't really have good answers?
I don't think it's the intensity, so let me just scratch that off the list there. I think his players like, I think he's a guy's guy. I think you can, you know, you can sit around the locker room. Not that, you know, of course you've got to have separation as a coach. You're not sitting there like your old boys. I get that. But I believe when he strolls through, he has raw and honest conversations with and I think even though he's not young, I think he projects young. He projects a certain coolness, a certain edge that I think is relatable to younger athletes. I do. So it's not that. Now, I have a question for you before I answer the second part of that equation. When you guys were ranking the duos and all the other different checkpoints that you go through, where'd you have the Giants offensive line of the division?
Not very high, which of course gave us a lot of, you know, worry because Bobby Johnson wound up coming here. But that's kind of the thing that's interesting, right? Is Washington, we didn't have very high either. And the way that Kliff has been able to insulate that offensive line is something that Daboll has been able to do at times in the past. I mean, their injuries, as you well know, right? Their injuries were so horrific the last couple of years that there's almost nothing a coach could do with some of that stuff. But I think the way that they made things easy for Daniel with some of the quarterback run stuff and some of the easier throws, just like getting the ball out of his hands quickly at times was where that was really impressive the last couple of years. And this year, it's just like they can't. Well, and obviously, Saquon also makes it easier. And maybe that's where you were about to go.
Oh, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, not that Saquon didn't have, and he's an amazing player, but wasn't perfect. Very few are. He would dance and he would get a lot of plays that were negative and set you up behind the chains a little. Now, he'd burst one and bust one and he'd wow you with some open field moves. But he wasn't perfect. But what he was, when the Giants came out of the tunnel, there was one guy that you looked at and you're like, this guy can wreck our day. From a coordinator's perspective, the guys know it because talent knows talent and talent knows a lack of talent. League-wide respect and attention given to Saquon. So once that element's pushed aside, now it's purely schematics, it's protection, and now it's really an illumination of what can the quarterback do to elevate. And the answer is nothing. I mean, I just cut to the chase. There's nothing. Now, if everything's perfect with Daniel Jones and he's not asked to throw it, I mean, more so last year with Saquon, not throwing it 35, 40 times, which is never going to be good for Daniel Jones anyway, but, you know, 26, 24, he runs it 5 or 6 times, you know, a little bootleg, a little fake keeper, whatever it might be. Now you got people guessing and now they guess wrong. Bang, Saquon for 50. Now suddenly an average receiver or an average tight end is open because now they got to worry about Barkley and Daniel Jones, who is a good runner, dashing you. Now you take away Saquon and now you get back to the core element. And, you know, you can have the most sophisticated, innovative, forward-thinking playbook. If you don't have time to execute it, that's it. This ain't high school where you could just out-athlete people or even college. Like, you know, you take a top-tier team, play a mid-tier team. Hey, we show up, we get off the bus. We have kids who run 4.4s and 4.5s. You have kids who run 4.6s and low 4.7s, and we're going to beat you to that spot because we're faster and we're bigger and we're stronger and we're deeper, and that's it. Game's over. NFL, everybody went through the combine. Everybody's an absolute physical specimen warrior. So now it really comes down, and I learned a lot of this from Tiki, sitting next to Tiki for 10 years. Like, I would rail on, as a Jets fan, the Jets coaches and this and that, you know, and it's such a simplistic thing. But I didn't play offensive line, so I don't, you know, I'm watching football and I'm watching receivers and quarterbacks and the sexy stuff, right? But I finally learned, finally got through my thick skull, forget about carving out space to run. if you can't, if you don't have the extra second to let the play develop, you're done. So that's one thing that's not there for the Giants. And then the next thing, you know, if you have somebody or if you have an inferior offensive line, do you have a quarterback who's got the skill set and the makeup? Daniel's tough, but he's not like that alpha, vibrant, you know, like Mahomes and Brady. Oh, we know the Favre and Rodgers sure. when he was younger. Let's go. I know what we got, but I know where we're going. And that's the end zone because of me. Follow me. And that means going off script and making a sick play. And, you know, the bottom line with Daniel Jones is when it's controlled and he's insulated and he's in that bubble of protection, he's fine, which is why they won 9 games a couple of years ago. And he played great against the Vikings on the road and they beat a bad Vikings defense and won a playoff game. But now with everything not there, now Andrew Thomas is done, and that's disaster. He's really yeah. he's only really, really good player they have. He's great. Now you're saying, all right, Jones, can you make the second level, you know, crossing route? Can you put it in a keyhole 40 yards downfield where it's the defender and it's the sideline and it's yours? And the answer is no. And it's right. never going to be yes. Not consistently enough for them to be good.
Right. And to your point about the leadership stuff, is Brandon Tierney, of course, WFAN up in New York, our guest here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. You can listen to, obviously, this show, but also listen to BT's show every day, 10 a.m. to 2 on the free Odyssey app if you want a little bit more New York perspective. But I think back to that first game, like there's a play early in that game where Malik Nabers, I'm pretty sure, because it seemed like every target went to Malik Nabers in that game.
Yep.
He comes out of a deep dig or a deep hook route, like 19 yards, something down the field, and DJ just overthrows him. And, yep. you know, that is the kind of thing where that's good design. They had the right call at the right time, and your quarterback has to elevate. And on the leadership side, I also look at the way Jaden comports himself and you know, Lamar as well. Like, they're quieter guys, but there's a fire that's within. And I think that the comparison doesn't have to be in your face, but it has to be that sense of belief where last week here, you got a bunch of dudes, even the defensive players on the sideline going, I don't know, he's got to throw the ball 65 yards in the air, but we got a chance until that final whistle blows. And I just get the sense watching the Giants offense, like that sense of belief, and whether it came from a guy like Saquon, because we could pitch it to him and who knows what happened, or it comes from a quarterback, I just don't get that sense watching it, and I don't know where you find it in the middle of a season.
You find it in the draft. You don't find it in the middle of the season, to your point. I agree. And, you know, it's one thing when, again, things are going well and, you know, you crank it, even if they're ugly, but you're winning some games like 2 years ago. And the difference is, like, if the Buffalo Bills, I'll just use them because obviously Jaden's a kid. Josh is a stud. He's been doing this for a couple of years now. Superstar, right? Big, strong, tough, fast leader, all the stuff you want from your quarterback. He can, on the not that he's going to light somebody up, a teammate, but he, when you're down, forget about making those high-level throws. Jones can't do that. Can you communicate to a room full of men, okay, that, I got you. And whether it's F-bombs or however you communicate it,
right.
is it believable? Is it transferable? Like, it's one thing to make it seem believable, like maybe you put an act on, but then is it received? That's why I say transferable. And listen, I know that Daniel Jones is respected. He's a smart guy. Several times going back to the Dallas game where he banged up his neck. I mean, he puts his pads down and he seeks contact and he ripped up his knee a year ago and he's always coming back and asking for more. He's like a proud boxer who is never going to be the champion, but you just respect him because he's hanging on to 100%. The ropes. You know what I mean? He's not getting knocked out.
And I think that's a good delineation too, right? Like, you can have respect for guys while also going like, yeah, but he's not that good.
Yep.
And Daniel Jones to me is one of that guy. Real quick, because we're short on time here, BT.
I got
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you feel about the defense with Shane Bowen in year one? There's some stuff they do really well. They lead the NFL in sacks. The rush defense, fourth worst EPA per play in the league. You got your good, your bad. How do you think it ultimately, like, broadly, how do you feel? And how do you think about that playing against this matchup with what the Commanders do offensively?
Okay, broadly, I feel good about it. Okay, it's really, put it this way. If the Giants had a bad defense, and I know they are weak in certain spots, particularly third level, whatever, some injuries, we know.
Sure.
But if they were like soft and porous and just an eyesore, the Giants would indisputably be, they'd be worse than the Panthers. Like, the defense is, they'd be the worst team in football.
Yeah.
The defense is keeping them around. Dexter Lawrence is an absolute superstar. I like the Burns trade. Now, I don't know if I do like it, and I do like him. Was that the right trade for this team based on where they are and what you gave up in terms of payment and draft equity? I can make a case. I know we're short on time. I won't do it now. I can make a case that probably wasn't the right move. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that Kayvon Thibodeau, who's been out, he's good. He's not great. He's kind of a one-trick pony getting after the quarterback, which is not a bad thing, but he's a little softish on, maybe not even soft, but he's not bullish on the run. He's not stout enough for me. I think that with Wink Martindale, you know, being forced out, that disintegrating, it could have gone, it could have gotten bad. I think they hired the right guy. I think they're giving them a chance to win. The problem, though, is the season goes on and morale is lost. And even if the defense doesn't say this to us on the, I have a couple Giants, I have Giants on the show weekly. Sure. Like, they're not going to say this because they're professionals, right? But amongst themselves, they start to think it. Exhausted, it's week nine and the offense is doing nothing, and they might say it behind closed doors and you might get a little contentious. But once that starts to happen, I think the grip that the defense has on the season, which has been fairly strong and resolute so far, it starts to weaken by the week, and suddenly instead of losing 17-10, it's 27-6, and then you just don't know where it goes, which is back to the beginning of the conversation. And Dable, optics, what does it look like? I think he's good. I think he'll be back, but there's still a chance that this thing unravels, especially if you guys light him up. And by the way, a good chance that you will. I mean, let me ask you, what do you expect? Give me a broad score. If you didn't make your prediction, that's fine. But yeah. In your mind right now, what are you thinking?
I think that Washington should win this game like 30-14 or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I just think that their running game is so good. That is where the Giants struggle. They kicked 7 field goals and didn't punt the first time. They've got to be better in the red zone, obviously. Yep. But I think they've already shown they can move the ball on this team. And that's supposed to be the Giants' strong point. And the Commanders' defense has only gotten better since week two. So it's the NFL. Who knows? Any given Sunday. We saw that last week. If you look at our picks from last week, that wasn't as pretty as, you know, we normally like it. But,
yeah.
You know, I do think Washington is – I think, one, Washington is clearly the better team. And, two, yep. Washington is playing – as a mature professional football team for the first time in 30 years. And so it is hard to see them having a letdown because they just haven't done that yet this year.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. I wouldn't be stunned if they got 30. I might be mildly surprised if the Giants got 14 at this point, you know, maybe more like 10 or 13.
Daniel Jones
has
owned the Commanders though. He sees burgundy and gold and he turns into a different player. So who knows?
That's true. But I mean, I don't even necessarily think it's a 4-quarter game. You know, like 30-14, there could be two types of 30-14s where it's 20-14 or whatever, and then you get a little separation late, sure. And it was, you're sweating for 3 quarters, but hey, we won 30-14. And then there's the 30-14 where you jump on them, maybe you lose a little focus, Giants get a cosmetic touchdown that has no bearing on the game. If I had to pick one of the two outcomes, it's more that, where Giants maybe score one that makes it look more competitive, but if you watch every snap, it wasn't particularly that close.
Yeah, Washington's had shutouts through 3.5 quarters in 2 straight weeks. So it is.
I didn't even realize that. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it is definitely possible. So we will see. If you want more coverage from the New York side of things, WFAN, of course, has it. You can listen to all of their shows, including Brandon Tierney with Sal Licata, every single day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the free Odyssey app. BT, always a pleasure, man. We'll definitely do this again down the road. And I hope to talk to you, whether it's later in the week or later in the season.
I had a good time, man. Anytime you guys have my number, hit me up and we'll do what we got to do. Thank you, Hop. Appreciate
we'll
you.
We'll do. All right. That's Brandon Tierney with us, everybody, here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, we dive into the YouTube comments. And this week, they're actually nice to me. It's never read the comments next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.